From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
First, the headlines. President says the street and mosque named after him in Abu Dhabi signify the close relationship between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. General Elections Commission urged to uphold transparency, honesty in election. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo has said that the street and mosque named after him in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates, signify the close relationship between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. According to him, the relations between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates have become closer in all fields. He said in an Instagram post on Tuesday, Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates have officially established diplomatic relations since 1976. The two countries are getting closer in all fields, from the economy, education, to the interpersonal relations of leaders. Earlier, the Indonesian ambassador to United Arab Emirates, Husin Bagi, said that the President Joko Widodo mosque in Abu Dhabi is a symbol of strong brotherhood between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. National Police Chief General Listio Sigit Prabowo said that international trust in Indonesia is high. In his presentation at the end of year release on Wednesday, which was broadcast live via the National Police Public Relations Division account, he explained that the high level of international trust in Indonesia is one of the factors in Indonesia's stable economy. He said that Indonesia's world trust is high.
Tingginya international trust Indonesia dapat diraih berkat kinerja yang diakui.
The high level of international trust in Indonesia can be achieved thanks to its performance, which is recognized by the world. We succeeded in dealing with COVID-19 quickly, succeeded in holding international forums such as the G20 summit, ASEAN summit, and succeeded in hosting various international events. Indonesia is also a bridge to the world peace. Setelah insert, in his presentation, Sigit explained, based on the Lowy Institute Asia Power Index 2023, diplomatic influence, Indonesia is ranked first in ASEAN or seventh in the world. Meanwhile, for comprehensive power, it is ranked second in ASEAN or ninth in the world. Chief of the Republic of Indonesia's Police, Kapolri Jenderal Listio Sigit Prabowo, said by the end of December 2023, the National Police has uncovered more than 39,000 drug cases. In the 2023 end-of-year release, which was broadcast live on YouTube of the Police Public Relations Division on Wednesday, National Police Chief Listio Sigit said the task force for combating drug abuse and illicit trafficking formed by the National Police has succeeded in resolving more than 31,000 drug cases.
Terkait dengan pemberantasan narkoba, kami telah membentuk
Regarding the eradication of drugs, we have formed the P3GN task force so that the National Police has succeeded in resolving 31,415 cases, or 79.7% of the total 39,389 cases in 2023. From the completion of these cases, the evidence that can be confiscated is worth 12.8 trillion.
12,8 trillion.
National Police Chief Listio Sigit Prabowo also explained that in 2023 he would carry out a joint operation with the Royal Malaysian Police, Royal Thai Police, USDA, Royal Malaysian Customs Department, and other agencies through Operation Escobar in Indonesia 2023. The General Elections Commission, KPU, must meet at least four key indicators to ensure elections integrity, according to an official from the Association for Election and Democracy, Perludem. Perludem's Executive Director Khairunisa Nur Agustiati told Antara on Tuesday that the four key indicators are transparency, accountability, honesty, and accuracy. She added that the General Elections Commission must meet those four indicators to gain public trust and legitimacy. Agustyate explained that transparency in all processes of the election will prompt the public to accept all the process carried out by the KPU. Elections observer Titi Anggraini has asked all parties to anticipate any election fraud perpetrated by elections organizer who have the resources and authority to do so during the 2024 general election. At the discussion held by the Institute for Educational Research and Economic and Social Information in Jakarta on Tuesday, she explained that given their resources and authority, elections organizers could abuse their power. She noted that the survey results must serve as an alarm on the importance of neutrality among state officials, such as security officials, bureaucratic officials, law enforcement officials, and elections organizers ahead of next year's election. The observers underlined that officials who are not neutral would not only ruin the principles of democratic election and cause dissatisfaction against elections processes, but would also bring about horizontal conflict between supporters. The Judicial Commission has asked law enforcement institutions in Papua, including district courts, religious courts, appeals courts, and district prosecutor offices, to provide Papuans legal services of even higher quality next year. Head of Institutional Relations and Informational Services at the Commission, Mukti Fajar Nurdewata, said that the Commission is working to ensure quality legal services for the Papuan people. The Jakarta Health Services has prepared ambulances and health service posts near 11 stages that will host the Malam Muda Mudi or Youngsters Night Festival on New Year's Eve. The head of the Jakarta's health service, Ani Ruspitawati, said on Tuesday that each health post will have doctors and nurses on standby to provide needed services during the New Year's celebration. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner. On closing IGFD 2023, Ambassador Harry Ahmadi calls on Indonesian citizens to spearhead Indonesia's promotion.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's commentary is entitled International Day of Epidemic Preparedness. Listener, December 27 has been designated by the United Nations as International Day of Epidemic Preparedness. On December 27, 2020, the UN General Assembly, which has 193 members, in an online meeting, agreed with the idea of the then Vietnamese ambassador to the UN, Dang Dinh Quy, to commemorate December 27 as International Day of Epidemic Preparedness. The day originated from the COVID-19 outbreak at the end of 2019. The outbreak, which started in China, quickly spread throughout the world, claiming millions of victims and leaving the world shocked and overwhelmed. The World Health Organization, WHO, as of August 9, 2023, recorded more than 760 million cases of COVID-19, with 6.9 million deaths worldwide. The actual figure is thought to be much higher. After months of research, world epidemic experts have concluded that COVID-19 can be overcome quickly if the world is well prepared. Thus, the International Epidemic Preparedness Day is intended to highlight the importance of prevention, preparedness, and partnership in fighting epidemics. Until recently, the COVID-19 virus is still circulating throughout the globe with various new variants. Casualties are still falling, although the death rate is much lower. The impact of the outbreak is still being felt today. The COVID-19 outbreak has wreaked havoc on long-term social and economic development. The global health crisis has disrupted global supply chains and caused disproportionate damage to the livelihoods of people, including women and children, as well as the economies of the poorest and most vulnerable countries. In Indonesia, the number of COVID-19 cases has recently started to show signs of increasing. Even though Indonesia is said to be one of the quite successful countries in dealing with COVID-19, Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin said the number of cases has now reached 2,800 per week. This is indeed not much compared to the peak of the highest daily COVID-19 cases on January 30, 2020, which reached 14,528. But something big generally starts with small things. For this reason, Indonesian Minister of Health Budi Gunadi Sadikin appealed to the public to be alert and re-implement health protocols. This includes avoiding crowds, maintaining cleanliness such as washing hands or using cleaning fluid, wearing a mask, and receiving the COVID-19 vaccine as a form of preparedness. Observing the history of pandemics throughout the world, new outbreaks may emerge in the future, perhaps even with a much higher level of intensity and severity. Specifically for Indonesia, building a strong and long-lasting health system is the responsibility of the elected president and vice president in the upcoming 2024 election. And listener, that was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Ambassador to Japan Hari Ahmadi advised Indonesian citizens who lived in Japan's southernmost province, Okinawa, to spearhead Indonesia's promotion in various fields. This message was conveyed during a series of Indonesia-Japan Friendship Day IGFD activities in Okinawa from December 21st to 23rd and also served as a closing event held in 12 cities in Japan throughout this year. The Ambassador's Dialogue event with Indonesian citizens and the Indonesian diasporas in Okinawa was also enlivened by performances of traditional Okinawan arts organized by Sanggar Matahari Terbit. In commemoration of the 65th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan relation, Indonesia-Japan Friendship Day IGFD is an integrated activity covering consular services, immigration, financial, consultation, and education. At the event, around 118 Indonesian citizens received services, including passport service for 100 people, re-registration for digital population identity or IKTP for 3 people, self-reporting for 10 people, and consular consultation for 5 people. In the dialogue with the Indonesian Students Association PPI, Ambassador Hairi provided support for PPI Okinawa's efforts to embrace all Indonesian students in the Okinawa region. He also emphasized that PPI could carry out activities programs that were in line with the activities of the Okinawa-Indonesia Friendship Association. Ambassador Hairi also held a meeting with the chairman of the Okinawa-Indonesia Friendship Association, Moriki Nishihira. Ambassador Hairi said that the increase in the number of Indonesian citizens in Okinawa requires special attention and hopes for cooperative support, especially in terms of protecting citizens, promoting Indonesia, and increasing people-to-people contacts in Okinawa. Ambassador Hairi also met Deputy Governor of Okinawa, Yoshimi Ruya. During the meeting, both of them agreed to increase cooperation between Indonesia and Okinawa, especially in the fields of fisheries, labor, and protection of Indonesian citizens. Listener, that was the news. I'm Luka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
We begin today in history with an event on December 27, 1945, which was commemorated as World Bank Anniversary. Quoted from worldbank.org, there were three World Bank anniversaries. First, July 22, 1944, when 44 countries' delegates met at the Mount Washington Hotel in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. They met to establish a system of international cooperation to save countries which were devastated by the Second World War. On December 27, 1945, representatives from 21 countries gathered in Washington, D.C. to join as the first members of the World Bank by ratifying the articles of the bank establishment, and since then, the World Bank was officially established. Meanwhile, in June 1946, the World Bank began its operation. Let's move to December 27, 1949, in which the Netherlands surrendered Indonesian sovereignty. Apart from the Indonesian people who proclaimed their independence on August 17, 1945, the Dutch colonial government didn't recognize it. Indonesia still had to endure independence struggles with weapons and diplomacy, until finally the Dutch transferred Indonesian sovereignty on December 27, 1949 at Dam Palace. The Dutch only acknowledged as the date of Indonesian independence, but finally, on August 16, 2005, the day before the 60th anniversary of the Indonesian independence, the Dutch Foreign Minister Bernard Rudolf Bot, in his official speech, acknowledged the date of Indonesian independence as August 17, 1945, in accordance with the Proclamation of Indonesian Independence. We end today in history with December 27, 2020, which marks International Day of Epidemic Preparedness. The commemoration was motivated by the first outbreak of the COVID-19 virus in 2019 that spread from China to the rest of the world. The outbreak overwhelmed hospitals around the world. After months of studying this pandemic, health experts believe that COVID-19 could only be overcome if the world was ready. Therefore, the United Nations calls for an International Day of Epidemic Preparedness. This commemoration was first held on December 27, 2020, with the aim of advocating the importance of prevention, preparedness, and partnership against epidemics. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Senyum dianya padaku, manis, manis, manis. Ku belai rambutnya yang hitam, sayang, sayang, sayang. Alangkah senang hatiku we'll be right back.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is entitled Indonesia's economic growth in 2024 will be maintained above 5% in the face of dynamics at the global level. The Indonesian Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, is optimistic that Indonesia's economic growth in 2024 can still be maintained above 5%. In the recent National Seminar on Indonesian Economic Outlook 2024, Minister Sri Mulyani explained several things that were supporting factors. Sri Mulyani said international institutions' predictions of 2023 being a fairly dark year for the economies of a number of large countries due to the increase in interest rates didn't fully occur. She gave an example: the United States has hopes of the country's economic resilience until the end of 2023. According to her, at least the world's largest economy can survive an extraordinary increase in interest rates. Minister Sri Mulyani also reminded Indonesia to remain alert in facing various dynamics occurring at the global level. The government must try to maintain domestic demand because consumption by the lower middle class is very large. For this reason, the government continues to try to avoid inflation and increases in food prices. The government has also issued several policies for the public to purchase houses and cars with the aim of ensuring that the supply side in the property and construction sectors has a large multiplier. Because according to the government, middle class groups still have purchasing power and are starting to be encouraged to grow. Besides, high tax growth can also encourage future economic growth. However, according to the Minister of Finance, this is a critical point for Indonesia because it must maintain the growth momentum, which is the tax base. Minister Sri Mulyani explained that growth in Indonesian tax revenues in 2023 will still be 7%. This will result in an improved tax ratio and a better focus on the expenditure budget. In the seminar, the Minister of Finance stated, high and sustainable economic growth must also be driven by productivity through improving infrastructure and the quality of Indonesia's human resources. Apart from that, according to the Minister of Finance, the state revenue and expenditure budget must also be kept healthy so it is strong enough to withstand various shocks that will arise next year. Due to previous experience, the Indonesian state budget has always been counter-cyclical and a very effective shock absorber in dealing with various critical situations. And that's my Indonesia.
Sendiri ketika
Hi VOI listener, if you take a culinary tour to Lombok and Sumbawa, Indonesia, you won't only find the famous Taliwang chicken. You can also enjoy chicken delight called Ayam Rangkat in Bonjeruk Village, Central Lombok, or Tanjung Satay made from sea fish. Rembiga satay containing horse meat, and there is also cengeh sambal from Central Lombok. In this edition, we would like to introduce you to one of the culinary delights of Lombok and Sumbawa, namely ayam rangkat. Ayam rangkat is a kind of processed chicken that is grilled without being seasoned, chopped, and served with a mixture of onion chili sauce. In several villages in central Lombok, including Bonjeruk Village and its surroundings, this dish is usually served at special moments, namely at the Selarian event. Selarian is a marriage tradition in some Lombok communities, which doesn't begin with a proposal. It is somewhat similar with eloping, in which a man takes away the girl to marry her. Often when the boy takes the girl away, he doesn't ask her parents' permission. He simply invites a few close friends along with his brothers and then talks to her parents. When he and his friends gather at home in large numbers, her parents, especially her mother, are not necessarily ready to entertain them. Upon welcoming their sudden guests, they may not have enough food to serve. So the chicken that has been grilled is sliced and shredded into very small slices. Listener, ayam rangkat is available at a wedding ceremony for the people in Central Lombok as a form of gratitude because their child is getting married. Now, ayam rangkat or merangkat chicken can be found not only at weddings but also at various restaurants in Lombok area. If you don't like spicy taste, you need to be careful. Ayam rangkat tastes very spicy. The spicy taste comes from the onion chili sauce. You can enjoy this special food by spending just 60 to 120,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia program, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to talk in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Overseas Service of Radio Republik Indonesia, Voice of Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Semarang, which means in Semarang. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled
Berbahan Rebung. Berbahan Rebung,
which means containing bamboo shoots. This conversation takes place between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and the seller of lumpia or spring rolls, a typical snack from the city of Semarang. The seller told Chris about the ingredients for lumpia. Let's listen to their conversations.
Saya suka lumpia Semarang ini. Kulitnya renyah, isinya enak. Isinya dari apa?
Isi lumpia ini berbahan rebung.
Rebung itu apa?
Rebung itu tunas bambu.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. I will pronounce it slowly. You can repeat it after me.
Isi lumpia ini berbahan rebung. Isi lumpia ini berbahan rebung.
Which means the filling for this lumpia contains bamboo shoots.
Isi.
Which means the filling.
Lumpia.
Which means lumpia or spring rolls.
Berbahan.
Which means made from.
Rebung.
Which means bamboo shoot.
Suka.
Which means to like or to love.
Lumpia Semarang.
Which means Semarang spring rolls.
Kulit.
Which means leather or skin.
Renyah.
Which means crunchy.
Isinya.
Which means it's filling.
Enak.
Which means delicious.
Dari apa?
Which means from what?
Tunas bambu.
Which means bamboo shoots. In the conversations, you hear the sentence.
Isi lumpia ini berbahan rebung.
Which means the filling of the spring rolls contains bamboo shoots. In the sentence, there is the word
berbahan,
which means containing ingredients. The word
berbahan
in the sentence is used by the seller to express the ingredients of lumpia, namely
rebung,
which means bamboo shoots. Now, let's listen to other examples of words and sentences to express the content of something.
Berair,
which means juicy.
Banyak sumur tidak berair pada musim kemarau. Banyak sumur tidak berair pada musim kemarau.
Which means many wells have no water during the dry season.
Bergizi.
Which means nutritious.
Rebung bergizi tinggi.
Which means highly nutritious bamboo shoots. Lumpia is internationally known as a type of spring roll food. In Indonesia, lumpia is well regarded as a typical food and commonly used as a special complement from the city of Semarang. Semarang lumpia usually contains bamboo shoots, which can be mixed with shrimp, eggs, and chicken. It is said that spring rolls in Indonesia today are a culinary heritage that combines Chinese and Japanese cultures. Before ending today's lessons on Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversations once more.
Saya suka lumpia Semarang ini. Kulitnya renyah, isinya enak. Isinya dari apa?
Isi lumpia ini berbahan rebung.
Rebung itu apa?
Rebung itu tunas bambu.
Listeners, that was today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversations entitled
Berbahan Rebung,
which means containing bamboo shoots. Hopefully, today's lesson is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. Thank you for your attention. Sampai jumpa.
Setelah kau pergi, tinggalkan kasih sayang yang pernah singgah antara kita. Masihkah ada sayang itu? Memang salahku yang tak pernah bisa meninggalkan dirinya untuk bersama kamu. Walau tuk terus bersama, kan ada hati yang kan terluka. Aku tahu kau tak mau. Sekali lagi maafkanlah, karena aku cinta kau dan dia. Bersama jalani semua cinta yang telah dijalani. Tapi bila itu yang kau pikir yang terbaik untukmu, bahagiaku untuk dirimu. Sekali lagi maafkanlah, karena meninggalkan dirinya untuk bersama kamu. Walau untuk terus bersama, kan ada hati yang kan terluka.
Listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Ambon entitled Natal Kali Ini Berat. The song Natal Kali Ini Berat, which means This Christmas is Hard, was created and popularized by Justy Aldrin. The song, which was released in December 2022, tells about someone who cannot celebrate Christmas with his mother and relatives in hometown as he is in another region. When Christmas arrives, he cannot hold the longing, hoping to go home to celebrate Christmas at home. However, because he is in another region, celebrating Christmas alone is hard for him. Well, listener, here is the song Natal Kali Ini Berat by Justy Aldrin. Enjoy the song.
Di rumah air mata tak tumpah, sio rindu mama ning basudara. Sekarang waktu kang subarobah, beta su jauh di rantau, tapele gunung tanah sendiri beta rasa. Desember su di ujung tanjung, deng rindu yang tak tampung, air mata balando. Kalau bisa minta kali ini saja, beta mau pulang Natal di rumah deng mama, kumpul deng basudara, biar sadiki jua rindu pulang ke rumah, dengar mama pung suara. Sekarang baru beta sadar semua, Natal kali ini berat, Natal kali ini berat, Natal kali ini berat. Beta su jauh di rantau, topele gunung tanah, sendiri beta rasa. Desember su di ujung tanjung, deng rindu yang tak tampung, air mata balando. Kalau
bisa minta kali ini saja. Beta mau pulang Natal di rumah deng mama, kumpul deng basudara biar sadiki jua. Rindu pulang